1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Corruption is decay. The first time we're born in the natural, we're born of corruptible seed. Decay. But we're born again. If we're born again and know the Lord and come into the kingdom of God, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, cannot be destroyed. What is that seed? The next phrase tells us, by the word of God. That's how we're born again. You can't be born again without this word. No way. Because faith is what gets you into the kingdom. But you can't have faith without the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we're born again by the seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's no corruption. Now turn to Mark chapter 4. All seeds have to die one way or another, or they cannot bring forth. And we know that we have to die to ourselves and the flesh before we can bring forth. But what I want to talk about today is not death, but life. The seed itself has life in it, doesn't it? If there's no life in the seed, it won't do anything. It'll just rot in the ground, and that's it. But if a seed has life in it, you put it in the ground, proper ground, with proper nourishment and proper watering, that seed will grow and bring forth. Because it's got life in itself. If there's no life, nothing will happen. We are born by the incorruptible, full of life, the seed of the Word of God. This Word is the seed. This Word has life in it. When you put this Word in you, there's life in that to bring forth, to spring up. Let's start with verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. The seed is the word. You know, the Lord is not going to trust everyone with his great power and anointing. You have, when you're born again, you have the incorruptible seed in you. You have the potential power in you. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And that's already been done. That was His part. That's all, the blood has been shed. It has paid for everything. The promises of God are yes. Whatever it is, He's already said yes. You can have it. The promises of God are yes. And what? Amen or amen, so be it. Done. He says done. You can't ask for anything that you need that's not already done. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, it's done already. He said, amen. He said, yes. He's already said yes. You know why? If I already tell my kids yes on something, why should they keep coming? I said yes, you know. That's what He's saying to us over and over. Because we keep saying, Lord, will you heal me? You know, I don't know if it's for me or all this kind of, you know, the doubts that come in, and then we say, well, will you heal me? I need you to heal me. He says, I said yes. He already said yes. The word, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But your testimony is your speaking. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said that. That's your testimony, what you speak all the time. That's how you overcome. Because if you speak according to this word, remember we read the negative of that in Isaiah 8:20, if you don't speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in you. Okay, the opposite of that is, if you speak according to this word, there is light in you. That light needs to come forth. Let there be light, whatever the situation is. Sickness is of darkness. Poverty is of darkness. So when you speak according to the word, there's life in that seed. It's incorruptible. This word is incorruptible. There's life in it. If you plant it with your mouth, it will bring life and light, and it will get the job done. And you have to be faithful in those little things, the words that you speak, and it is tough. It's easy when we come in here and we feel the Spirit of the Lord and we feel the glory of the Lord, but we don't always feel the glory. Even though we walk in heavenly places, we're not always aware of it. And the enemy comes in and puts thoughts, and a lot of times it comes right out our mouth. And it's sin. Because you get faith by hearing the word. Unbelief is sin. So if you speak words of unbelief, it's sin. And the Lord wants to be able to trust us in these little things. You know, you think sometimes it's not important what you say. Oh, this arthritis is just getting me. That is important. He is not. You cannot go around all week talking that kind of stuff and expect to come up here and pray for somebody to get healed and the power of God flow through your hand. It won't do it. Amen. He won't do it. He will not trust you with His power until He can trust you in the little things. You have got to speak words of life every day. And I'm not perfect in it, but I am striving for it. And when I speak something negative, either the Holy Spirit or the boys will correct me and say, uh-uh. You know, I say, Lord, I repent of those words. I repent of that. That's not true. And then I'll speak the word to overcome it, to overcome that darkness. It's important. You think it's little things, but your words are seeds. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap it. And if you sow seeds of disease and say, I'm sick and I'm tired and all that negative stuff, that's what you will reap. If you want to reap what you can have in this word, you have to do your part. He's already done His. He said it was yes is the answer. He shed the blood. But you must do your part. A covenant is a two-way street. Both sides. One person can't just fulfill your side of it. You have a free will. We're not puppets. God didn't create us to be. He created us to be powerful beings. That what we speak will come to pass. And just like He showed me in that vision, when you speak His word, it's got life in it. It's got power in it. You don't have to feel it, but it will accomplish. It won't return void. It will accomplish what it said that it will. And that's what He pleases. Your blessing, your good. You must be faithful in the little things. I just cannot tell you how important that is. And people don't realize it. Hallelujah. Help us, Jesus. The sower soweth the word. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Don't let him come when you walk out of this building and steal the word. Don't let him do that. That's what he'll try to do. You walk out of here, sometimes before you get out, he'll try to do it. He'll say, well, you know, if you say, for example, you needed prayer, and then before you go out the door, he'll say, well, it didn't work, you're still hurting. The Lord wants us to grow up and keep our swords out. We are in a battle. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. We don't want to be like that. We want to receive it with gladness, and we want to receive it immediately. But we don't want to be stony ground and have no root in themselves. Let me tell you how you get roots. You get roots by going deeper in the Lord. You can't get roots without being tested. You can't get roots without something coming against the Word, and you have to keep standing. You know, like the example I used, and he says, oh, that didn't work. Then you say, I am healed. It's already worked because the work has already been done. It's finished. You're going deeper and deeper and deeper when you do that. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, what? When affliction or persecution ariseth, what? For the Word's sake. Amen. That's not for preachers. Meaning that you'll get persecuted for preaching the gospel. Yes, that's true. But it's for you, for the Word's sake, because the Word is the seed in you. And immediately they are offended. So see, it's for the Word's sake. So you got to keep speaking the Word. When a trial comes, it's just an opportunity for you to get roots, for you to speak that Word and watch it work, for you to get rooted and grounded in it. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the Word, and the cares of this world. The cares of this world. Caring too much whether you're going to have money to pay your bills. That's the cares of this world. You know, it's talking about all the cares of this world. Because when those cares come against you, it'll try to choke out the Word. It'll fight the Word. And the deceitfulness of riches, that's thinking that money can buy you out of it. Money can solve all your problems, etc. And the lust of other things entering in choke the Word. Lust doesn't just mean sexual lust. You can lust after something that God wants you to have. If you're just thinking about it all the time instead of resting in it and saying, now I know you promised me that, and that's it. If you just keep being obsessed with it, it can turn into lust. And that just prevents it from coming sooner. Choke the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. Unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. A plant cannot bring forth fruit if it has no root. That's one reason we should not judge people. The Lord gave me the vision of a grapevine in the wintertime. There's no fruit on it. But during that time, the roots are going deep. Sometimes you look at people, you don't see fruit right then. You just have to keep watching them instead of judging them and say, well, I don't believe they really got saved. Just keep praying for them instead of thinking bad things about them. Speak good things on them. Say, I believe they really got saved and they're just growing and getting deep roots. And, you know, pray the good things. Now let's skip to verse 24. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. If you hear what I say, and you say, well, I don't believe that. Now, you know, I'm not perfect, and I make some mistakes. I'm not the perfect orator, not the perfect speaker. You may find some mispronunciations, or I may say is when I should say are, etc. You have to take the meat and leave the fat in the bone. There's not a minister on this earth that's walking in perfection that I know of yet. But we are striving toward perfection. But what the point is here, what measure you meet, however you hear, take the meat. Take the good part. Instead of criticizing and saying, oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe the way she says that or he says that or whatever. Take what is truth based on the Word. If you have a question about it, you better go to the Word and find out if it's true or not. What measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Well, weren't they all hearing him? With these ears, yes. Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. It's the Holy Spirit's job. The seed is alive. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, but it's our job to plant it. It says, a man should cast seed into the ground. With your mouth, you cast it into the ground of your heart. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. All right. The Bible talks about when Jesus was also the seed being planted in the tomb. The seed has to die. But that seed has life in itself, or it won't come up. The seed of the Word has life in itself. If you plant it in your heart, by your tongue being the pen, writing it on your heart, if you plant it in your heart, it will bring forth life. And again, the kingdom of God, verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens through faithfulness in the little things. Keep planting the seed. Keep tending the seed. Down to verse 35. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them. What Jesus says is the word, right? This is the word of God. Okay, here's the word. He just gave them this parable. He just gave them the teaching that I just gave you. Now here comes the test. Here comes the test of what he just sowed into them. And here's the word. Let us pass over unto the other side. That's his word to them. Okay, so they go on into the ship. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, he wasn't pleased with them, was he? He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He said, I just gave you this parable. I explained it to you. You know, you stayed with me. I told you what it meant. The seed is the word. The seed is the word. He said it over and over and over, didn't he? The kingdom of God is the seed of the word. Amen. Over and over he has told us in his word. The seed is the word. He gave them the word, let us pass over unto the other side. What is your word? By his stripes ye were healed. Amen. Is that your word? It is. If you need healing, that is your word. He wishes above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. He wants your soul to prosper. If your soul needs to prosper, that's your word. If you need to prosper financially, that can be your word too. He was made poor that we would be made rich. What is your word? It's right here. Whatever you need is right here. You need to plant that seed. But what did they do? He was not pleased. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please him, and you cannot have faith without the word. You cannot have faith without speaking the word. Because when you speak it, you hear it, and faith comes. There's no other way to please God. Your works, I don't care how many things you do for other people, and it's good to be good and be kind and do those things. But I don't care how good you try to live. If you don't walk in faith, you are not pleasing God. Faith for what? If you've already been saved. Faith in his word. That you are to walk in the power, the anointing, and the glory of God. That you are to walk in divine health, divine prosperity. That's his word to you. And yet, they got all upset. And they woke him up. They said, don't you care? You know, like, sometimes we get mad at God and blame him. Don't you care that I'm suffering? Don't you care that I'm sick? And it's not his fault. It was ours because we weren't doing our part. The word to them was, let us go to the other side. What should they have done to please him? I would say in the worst case, they should have been bailing out the water and saying, we're going to make it to the other side. He said, we're going to the other side. We're going to make it to the other side and bail that water out of there. He would have been pleased with that, don't you think? If they just stood on that word, he said, we're going to the other side. Or maybe if they just went in the hinder part of the boat Now, that'd take even more faith, you know, not to bail. So this is the next step up from that, if you just go lay down with him and say, we're just going to stick next to you, Lord, because we know we're going to make it to the other side because you said, let us go to the other side. So we're just going to rest in you. That would have pleased him. What does he want us to do? You can bail, and you can say the word. Sometimes that's required, that you need to, you know, do something yourself. If you're eating something that's poisoning you, you need to quit doing it. Or if you need to eat more bananas, you know, for potassium or something, then that's a form of bailing, saying, I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, and while you're eating your bananas. You know, there are some common sense things that we can do. Sometimes it's time just to rest in him. Say, he said it, I believe it, we're going to get there. He's doing the work. It's done already, why should I bail? Sometimes you, yourself, need to stand up and take authority over the situation. Wouldn't he have been pleased with them if they had been the ones to stand up and said, peace! And the water had calmed. And it would have worked because he already told them how to do it. It would have worked. Or if they'd have stood up and said, Psalm 91, he who abides, I abide under the shadow of the... No harm can come near me. No calamity can come near me. He would have been pleased with that. How often are we attacked? Many times each day I'm attacked and I have the opportunity to speak the thoughts that are coming to me from the enemy, to agree with the natural circumstances, the principles of this world. Flu is a principle of the world. It's something that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Flu should not be a part of any Christian's life. We're delivered from the curse. That's under the curse. And you have to take authority over that flu. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the flu, and I bind it in Jesus' name, and I cast it out, cast it back to the pit from whence it came. Satan, you will not trespass on any of God's people. I apply the blood of Jesus to the people of God. And we'll not have the flu, because the flu does not belong to us. And we say, return to sender in Jesus' name. You better pray when you go in the store so that no germs, when you go shopping or to work or to school. You better apply the blood of Jesus before you go anyplace. And you better stand on the authority of the Word of God. Don't accept things of the world that are not according to the Word. See, that's your opportunity. Whatever comes is your opportunity to do what he said and to please him. He was not pleased with them. He was not pleased. I believe he was aggravated and irritated. Jesus got aggravated. He got angry. He whipped them out of the temple. He was angry. God gets angry sometimes. That's scriptural. God has emotions. We're created in his image. We have them too. But we have to use them properly and learn to control them. And if the emotions aren't lining up with the Word, then we have to take authority over that and speak the Word. If you are faithful in the little things and you continue to plant the seed and let the roots go deep, he will begin to trust you with his power and his anointing. But you can't trust a 3-year-old to drive a car. You have to grow up. You have the potential within you. You have the seed, the incorruptible seed in you. Don't stay stagnant. You know, there's some types of seeds that can just stay in the ground for, some of them like thousands of years? And then they, you know, if they're given the proper conditions, can spring up. Don't be like that. He doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want us to be like a lamp hid, you know, or a seed just stuck in the ground and not bringing forth. But you've got to water it with the Word. You've got to keep on doing it. You can't let up. So I think he wants to exhort us to be faithful in the little things. It's obedience to this Word, to speak the Word. And then he will teach you what to say when. You know, sometimes you can't misuse it either, you know, by saying, I'll just command this red light to turn green. That's silly. That's childish. It's for the glory of God to cover the earth. But he wants all of his people to be a part. Not just 20, 30, 40 great ministers in the earth. That's not right. He wants to be pleased with us, and we need to want to please Him. And faith comes by hearing the Word. You can't hear it unless you say it out loud. Thank you, Jesus, for your Word to us today. You need to get up every morning speaking the Word. You need to speak the Word at every opportunity, because it's a battle we're in. And if you don't do it, then you'll be overtaken. You'll be choked. It'll be choked, and you won't prosper, and you won't walk in divine health and divine prosperity and the glory and the power of God. You've got to do it, and it's not easy. If it was easy, more people would do it. It's not easy, because it's so easy just to spout right out of your mouth what thought comes into your mind. But you don't do that when it would hurt someone's feelings. You know, you think, oh, I better not say that. You know, how much more we should care about the Lord and pleasing Him. Remember that He is in you and with you. So we don't want to hurt His feelings. We want to be careful what we say. Be careful. And the more you grow up in the Lord, the more care you have to take. You realize that your words carry power, and you better be careful what you say. Words carry power and weight, and they can damage, they can hurt people. They can hurt the kingdom of God. So if your words bring righteousness and peace and healing and prosperity to people and to yourself, then speak them. If not, we better just try to keep our mouths shut or repent when need be. Thank you, Lord, for your words.